This is part two of our Black Mountain Fire interview.
A wildfire is growing just outside Nordegg. As Navsanga reports, those close to the fire have already been evacuated, while people in Nordegg are cautiously watching and waiting.
It's business as usual at the Miner's Cafe in Nordegg. While just a few kilometers down the street, a fire is quickly spreading. The wildfire was first reported on Wednesday. At that time, it was approximately 10 hectares in size. Now, it's over 350.
Its current status is out of control, but we're working 24 hours round the clock to try to get it under control.
Wildland firefighters, air tankers, and helicopters have been working hard to contain it.
We do have firefighters from BC coming to help us as well. So there's a lot of resources being brought in.
All the nearby campgrounds have been evacuated.
Everybody is completely safe at this time. We've had no incidents to report so far.
19 kilometers east of the fire, the residents of Nordegg are getting anxious.
Well, it's really kind of scary because it can be really quick when it does happen.
Yeah. I mean, worst case scenario, you might lose your business and you might lose your house, so that's always worrying.
But they are prepared.
Yeah, all my animals have their to-go bags. I left my dog with my family, with my parents back in Jasper.
You know, there's not much, too much of value that you can't replace. So basically what we want to take with us is just our lives and our pets, and that's about it.
The town is currently under a two-hour evacuation notice. Navsanga, CTV News, Nordegg.
So in a very short period of time, we're talking 48 hours, we had the fire identified, a whole bunch of air bombers, helicopters coming into fight, people preparing to go in on the ground, and the county also trying to prepare and evacuate certain areas and give alerts to certain areas. Like, there's a lot of stuff that happened in a short period of time. What happened after the 20th, after people were being evacuated and alerts? What happened with the fire itself?
Yeah, so again, fire was detected on the 19th. It was a wildland fire, Alberta wildfire, being the authority having jurisdiction, was dealing with that fire. They notified us that we had a new wildfire in the forest protection area, just as a notification for us that they were dealing with a wildfire that, you know, was west of Nordegg. On the 20th, when that fire kind of grew a little bit more, and was displaying some extreme fire behavior, the province started throwing a lot of resources on the wildland firefighting perspective at it. You're talking four air tanker groups, multiple helicopters, and trying to bring resources in to start fighting that fire on the ground. They reached out to us at Clearwater Regional Fire and asked that if, you know, myself as a duty officer and our director of emergency management, Christine, could come down to the office and have a direct face-to-face meeting with them, and they could bring us up to speed on what the potential risks were. At that point in that evening, when we started issuing evacuation orders and evacuation alerts, Alberta Wildfire on their side was also escalating that fire. So speaking with the Alberta Wildfire Coordination Center in Edmonton, they call it AWCC, they were escalating that fire to the top priority fire within the province of Alberta at the time. It was the most threatening in the province of Alberta based on where it started and what was close by, being lots of PRAs and the Hamlin and Nordegg itself. You know, that sparked what Alberta Wildfire calls an incident management team from their side to be basically deployed to our area. So they brought down a fully staffed incident management team. And when that team got on the ground in early morning on the 21st, Clearwater County and Alberta Parks as well entered into unified command with Alberta Wildfire. So myself, with an incident commander from Alberta Wildfire and an incident commander from Alberta Parks, sat together in a room with the team and devised a plan that we were going to enter into unified command. We were going to manage this emergency as all three agencies together at the same table. We had staff from all three organizations sitting together in the incident management team, an incident command post, essentially, building plans, conducting operations on the ground, dealing with logistical needs, tracking finance, and all of those things together in incident management team as all three organizations of Alberta Wildfire, Clearwater County, and Alberta Parks. That caused a large influx of resources, predominantly on the Alberta Wildfire side, Clearwater County as well. We deployed regional fire assets out to the Nordegg area. We started doing what's called structure protection and sprinkler systems on valleys at risk within the evacuation order area, and validating our plans that we have built for the Nordegg North subdivision, Nordegg South subdivision, and making sure that we had resources on standby to be deployed in case we had to escalate from, you know, to protect the actual hamlet of Nordegg itself. So that was, started very quickly on the night of the 20th into the early morning on the 21st, and that carried through until when we exited Unified Command with Alberta Wildfire and Alberta Parks, when there was no longer a risk to public or property in the area about 9 days later.
So it took 9 days to, what's it called, being held? The status?
Alberta Wildfire has realistically four statuses, if you consider extinguished, but three main statuses that you'll see on their app or that you'll hear in a lot of their public information they put out, and that's out of control, being held, and under control. An out of control wildfire is exactly what it sounds. It's doing what it wants to, it's going where it wants to. There may be a lot of resources on that fire, working that fire, prioritizing, you know, the areas where wildland firefighting operations can be effective and safe, and we work a fire that's out of control to the point where we get it to what's called being held. When Alberta Wildfire transitions or has a status change from out of control to being held, what being held generally means is with the current situation on the ground, resource-wise, forecasts, weather-wise, the fire is not expected to grow beyond its current boundaries, but it's not under control. And it could transition back to being out of control at any time if any one of those things change. Like if we have to lose resources to a higher priority fire, or if the weather changes for the worse, that fire could move back to being out of control. So that yellow symbol you see on the map when they say it's being held, that means we're making positive progress on the fire. And as long as things stay the way they are, we should continue down that same path.
But it shouldn't be considered a safe
time. But it's not considered under control by any means, right? When they work that fire further at that being held status, and they get firefighters on the ground around that entire fire, and they have what they have consider controlled fire lines. So not just, you know, dozer guard built, but dozer guard that's been built for an example, or hand line that's been built where fire crews have actually been on there and made sure that the perimeter is cool. When they get to a reasonable amount where they know that fire is no longer going to grow outside that control boundary, then they would transition that status from being held to under control, right? An under control wildfire, again, generally means that they're confident that it's not going to grow any larger than it has, but there's still a lot of work to be done in an out of control wildfire. It's not extinguished yet. They have to go in and chase hotspots inside the fire perimeter. They have to validate that the perimeter is cold and out into a certain depth, up to 100 feet or more. And it can take months. We're sitting at the mid-September here now, and the Black Mountain wildfire is still considered under control, not extinguished.
So there are still people out there?
They would have it on what's considered being patrol status right now. So okay. They would be monitoring that fire very closely. They would have crews out there if there's any signs of any smoke or any heat that would deal with that. But it's really challenging terrain out there, right? We live in the mountains, and it's not necessarily safe to have firefighters or effective to have firefighters out on every inch of that fire. So I would assume that that fire will probably stay at under control status until we hit wintertime. We have snow on the ground in that area that will allow them to be confident that fire is extinguished.
Okay. Yeah. Now, we do live, you mentioned a big chunk of the county, we're covered by forest area. And we have a lot of acreages, even farms that are in the midst of that, and of course the hamlet, Nordegg, and many cabins all throughout. What are things that residents can do to help protect their property ahead of time to help prevent the worst happening?
Yeah, that's a really good question. There's a lot of things that the people in the community can do on a proactive, preventative kind of approach, if you will. So a lot of that comes down to it's really basics, actually. On the housekeeping aspect is huge and stuff. Brush piles and certain things that are laying around that can be either disposed of properly, whether it's a burn permit or anything like that. For a lot of the people with acreages, getting rid of some old brush and stuff like that. Also being careful when it comes to the farming aspect as well, too. A lot of fires that we respond to throughout the years and stuff happen in the fields with a lot of our agriculture residents and stuff like that. It could be something as simple as tractors disking in the field and sparks hit a rock, and next thing you know, half a field goes up. Having that knowledge to be able to call for help right away to get our resources out there to assist them is huge in containing it to one area before it jumps into a bush or into a fire. Then it extends on beyond potentially even out of the county, depending on where it is and stuff. So being able to call and have for that ability to get help on the way is important. So it can be something as simple as having a cell phone with you when you're on your tractor, or driving down the road, basic things, smokers and stuff, throwing butts out the window seems to be a common thing. There's some other stuff there that people can do on the fire smart side of things, is just having some little stuff available there. If you're doing some work around the house, having a garden hose nearby or having an extinguisher in your vehicle or something like that for the minor things are definitely things that can help as well. But the biggest thing that we hear feedback in is people try to put it out themselves quick without calling for help. And then by the time they get a chance to call for help, it's kind of grown out side of a realm that can be knocked down quickly. And by the time we get our people there, it takes a little bit of time and it's escalated. So don't be afraid to call for help quickly. We would rather show up and you end up having the fire out after a hustle and calling us right away than us getting there and having to call in multiple resources from outside the agency and potentially losing some structures or some property and environment stuff.
What are some of the common things that you see that you're just like, oh, I wish it wasn't like that. That's some of the properties.
Without naming names, just kidding. I think that the chief nailed it. There's little things that can be done, and in Nordic's case, it is a fire smarted community. There is fire smarting that's taken place through grant dollars that the province has done in and around the community. But fire smarting onto private property is important, and having that buffer from your house to the trees, and within the hamlet of Nordegg, their development permits are conditioned for that 30 feet away from the house to make sure that they have separation from the trees. That's one thing that helps. Keeping combustibles away from your property. Don't stack your wood pile up against your house. Having a wood pile beside your house actually is a risk, because if there's ember shower coming through, it's one more combustible material that may mean your house catching fire. Whereas if it was set back within a reasonable distance, it wouldn't be as much of a risk.
And I imagine, old sheds, old barns that aren't being used, but just falling down, don't help, just sitting there waiting to go.
Oh, and that's pretty common in a lot of communities and stuff like that. Different farms and acreages, you have the historical, maybe family farm or family original barn that was on the property, and there may be some newer structures and stuff like that. There is different techniques and stuff, like on the housekeeping side of things and that, like something as simple as keeping the grass nice and tight and cut in those areas. So obviously taller fuels and bigger brush piles and stuff like that. If we remove those areas where you have that fire spread, if you will, that could be like a wick on a candle to another area, removing those is kind of the best proactive approach on stuff like that. So just general housekeeping can be a big difference.
So for Blackstone Mountain, how many people actually end up being out there fighting?
Yeah, the Black Mountain wildfire at its peak had four air tanker groups of different classifications. We had ground-based long-term retardant aircraft, like the Electras are based at Rocky Mountain House, dropping the red solution that you see from the sky. We had CL215s, Alberta-owned skimmers that were skimming off of Abraham Lake.
I saw pictures of that. It's pretty cool to see.
Yeah. Exactly. Those aircraft can also inject foam into the water after they pick it up. They were using that. So they were very effective in the portions of terrain that were unsafe or difficult for ground-based firefighting to take place. There was up to 11 rotary wing or helicopters on that fire of different sizes. We had smaller helicopters that Alberta Wildfire considers as an intermediate helicopter for moving, crews around or conducting aerial reconnaissance or small bucketing operations, to medium helicopters that were moving some of the larger crews around or conducting bucket operations, supporting the ground crews, and even heavy helicopters that were out there. So very large helicopters that were designed to transport large amounts of water up to the higher elevations. And it was a very large air show. As for firefighters, Clearwater Regional Fire Rescue Services at its peak, we had roughly 25 firefighters on the ground, including some of our mutual aid partner firefighters from Red Deer County. Alberta Wildfire had around 100 to 120 wildland firefighters on that fire at its peak. That was unit crews, including unit crews from British Columbia. We had a lot of help from BC on this wildfire through agreements that Alberta Wildfire has with many other provinces, co- called CIFC, the Canadian Forest Fire Coordination Program, essentially. There was a lot of resources on this fire. It was definitely responded to effectively by both the province and the county, in my opinion. And we had all the resources we needed, and we had friends to help us close by as well, just like we do as Clearwater Regional Fire Rescue Service when our firefighters deploy to other areas. We had Red Deer County and giving us a hand. We had multiple other mutual aid partners like Sylvan Lake and Mountain View County and Lacombe County that were ready to respond and assist us if required, if it were to escalate. So it was a large operation for a 480-hectare fire, but it was a very complex wildfire based on the terrain we were dealing with. And the indices, so the weather and how dry it was and how close it was to bodies at risk, like the Hamlet and Nordic and all of those PRAs in between.
Right. And this is a personal opinion, but knowing what the temperatures were throughout that whole time, and you know that Abraham Lake Valley in particular is known for wind, mm-hmm. I think we got lucky.
Yeah.
In it being kept as small as it was.
Yes, I would agree. Very lucky. You know, a lot of the local wildland firefighting experts from Alberta Wildfire here, you know, they speak about in the mountain fires the 20-20-20 rule. Anytime we have temperatures around 20 degrees, above 20 degrees, relative humidity levels down around 20 degrees, and winds around 20 kilometers per hour, we kind of have the perfect mixture for extreme fire behavior in the mountains. And then obviously the hotter, the drier, the windier it is, the worse that can be. We had those conditions during that fire. I think we were very lucky. Some of the things that assisted us in being lucky or being effective at controlling that wildfire was a timely response by the province of wildland firefighting resources, understanding that because it was going to be complex terrain, that it was going to require a large amount of aircraft. Those resources can be expensive and sometimes in short supply in the province. They did respond effectively with a large aerial firefighting force, engaging the county and parks in the unified command as quickly as they did, and having that coordinated response, three-pronged response, was very effective in making sure that we controlled the area and got the resources we required onto that fire and operating quickly. And I can't stress enough that the Alberta Wildland firefighters on the ground and our firefighters on the ground worked hard for days, being either preparing structures with sprinkler systems and fire smart, or doing the grunt work in the mountains of putting fire line in on the side of a mountain for days at a time in 30 degree weather. It was hard work, and a lot of hard work went in keeping that fire the size it was.
So looking back, we're fortunate, very lucky that no private property was damaged and didn't get into actual campgrounds and parks, which is great. What are, looking back now, what are some of the lessons that Clearwater County can take a look at? I mean, because we've had fires, we've had floods, and I know we take a look at each one and say, what are some of the lessons we can learn? What some of the things we can change and educate ourselves about? What are some of the lessons we might be able to take away from this event?
You know, I think it was our first venture into a unified command system, and I think the lesson from that is how positive that unified command can be for emergency management. Instead of having to relay conversations between different types of incident management structures, whether it's the incident command post that's closer to the emergency, whether it's our emergency coordination center here at Clearwater County, having people physically in the room together making decisions jointly allowed for us to bring up those, did you think of this? Because you might be looking at it from one specific lens. Wildfire might be looking at a lens from fighting the wildfire in that location, whereas Clearwater County might take that lens and add to the lens of the public and those businesses and people who are in the community and what we need to do to keep them safe. So I think that Unified Command is one of those lessons learned. I know we've met with some provincial officials from Alberta Emergency Management Agency. They've noted that our emergency event with the Black Mountain Fire was one that could be notable for the province in terms of the structure of the Unified Command and how well it worked. So I think that'll be one of the positive lessons learned from that fire. There's always smaller things, on the ground. Could we have done this or that better? Absolutely. I think, one area we can always improve on, and we did hear feedback from the community, was that the public communications, and it's not because we didn't do a good job of communicating, is more of an educational communication component on the difference between what an alert and evacuation order is. You know, why an alert is required when it's so far away. It seems like 19 kilometers is a long distance away, and perhaps would they be safe for forever or a period of time? But as Deputy Chief mentioned, those fires that we've seen in the province historically have a spread rate that made us believe that fire could be there within one day. And that would be the reason why we take our subject matter expert information from Alberta Wildfire, their recommendations. They don't issue the evacuation order within municipal jurisdiction, but they do make recommendations based on their bird's eye view of the fire, their wildfire behavior analysts and specialists, their weather forecasters. They have digital systems that will model what, with the current conditions, what that fire could do in a period of time, whether it's 12, 24, 36 hours. And based on all our subject matter expert information, we take that as a municipality and make those hard decisions. And an alert and an order means people are either displaced from their home or ready to be displaced from their home. It's not convenient, and it's certainly not something that we take lightly when we do issue those orders, but we're doing it with the best interest of public safety in mind.
Right. I mean, that's our role, because we're trying to protect people and property. People first and then property. Right?
Absolutely.
So to wrap up, the question I have for each one of you, if there's something that you would like our residents or even our visitors to know, maybe about this fire or about fire in general, what is one thing that you would like to let people to know?
No, it's just the chief. Yeah, go for it.
One of the biggest things that we look at, obviously public education on emergency preparedness is huge, and that's a big focus for our department on the emergency management side and on the fire side of safety for the community. And one of the biggest things that we do on our end is risk mitigation through preparedness. So when we do that, we're looking at a lot of different avenues. We spoke about the fire spot program and stuff that we have in place. Clearwater County is very fortunate to have one of two marine teams in the province, which is a wildland urban interface team that does specialize in a lot of the wildfire application stuff, structural protection specialists and stuff of that nature. And what that is that's us as a county and a community taking the steps to lessen the potential threats for a catastrophic fire or anything of that sort. So we have pre-plans in place, and we have different resources, like the Deputy Chief had mentioned, with our mutual aid partners, and like our Director Christine had mentioned as well. We take multiple steps on helping prepare. So the other thing that we like to educate, which is a huge portion of this, is the community members as well, to take similar steps throughout their own households, whether they're residents of the hamlet of Nordegg or they're tourists or seasonal residents that come down there, that is having those preparedness steps in place. We talk about having your 72-hour bag ready to go. So if you're someone that resides there for longer than, let's say, a weekend, have the ability to be able to grab some stuff and go, whether it's pets, family, friends, anything of that nature. Remembering to shut off lights, power, put out your fires properly and stuff like that, down to little things like making sure your vehicle's full of gas. Like our director said, if that alert comes out and something's bad and the gas station's got 80 people lined up at it because nobody filled up when they left or when they got to town, it is somewhat remote with almost an hour drive to the next fuel station. So,
and being pro-worst all the way.
Exactly. As well. So if there's traffic and delays and stuff like that, it's always a smart thing to make sure that you have everything ready to go to keep yourself and your family safe, but also have a means of paying attention and that situational awareness. If you know there's a wildfire in the area, you should make it a habit to try to find out an update a couple of times throughout the day if you're going to be staying in there. So,
okay. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we end off?
And the only thing I would say is that, the residents that we serve here are extremely, extremely fortunate. And as an emergency services, we're an extremely fortunate service to have the community support and everything that we get tasked with doing when it comes to serving the public. On an emergency like this and some of the other emergencies we dealt with this summer, it was a very busy hazard season for, all the first response agencies in our area. Those relationships that we have with the Rocky Mountains RCMP Detachment, Conservation and Fish and Wildlife Officers, Alberta Wildfire, Alberta Parks Environment Staff, it's community peace officers, whether it's Clearwater County or Town of Rocky Mountain Hills, the Town of Rocky Mountain Hills Emergency Management Staff, staff from the Village of Carolinas. We have a very tight-knit emergency response and emergency management community here. It's amazing to see. So it's one thing that I'd like the public to know is that, we have a very well experienced and equipped staff to deal with emergencies in this area. And we can't appreciate the support from the public as any more
than can be said here essentially is we're here to serve you, and preparedness is the best way that you can help us serve you when it comes to emergency response or emergency management.
Okay. And should we use this time to promote that we do need firefighters throughout the county, and we sure would appreciate more people.
Yeah, we're currently going through a recruitment drive right now for Clearwater Regional Fire Rescue Services. We've got spots open at all five of our fire stations, whether that's Nordig, Leslieville, Condor, Caroline, or Rocky Mountain Hills. If you're 18 years old, have a driver's license, and you want to serve your community, you can go to crfrs.ca and apply online, or you can stop in at Regional Fire Headquarters or any one of the fire halls when you're practicing. So our fire station in Rocky Mountains, for example, they practice 7 to 10 p.m. on Thursdays. Rocky would be the only one practicing on Thursdays. Nordics is Monday, 7 to 10. Condor, Leslieville, and Caroline practice on Tuesdays from 7 to 10. So you can stop in at fire hall if you see firefighters there, the door's open. Ask for an application, stop in and ask for a tour of the fire hall. We'd love to have you apply and go through the process to become a paid on-call firefighter with Clearwater Regional Fire Rescue Services.
Not to scare the people away too, like we have an open door policy for giving people the opportunity to try out and see if they can meet the requirements and stuff. And you don't have to have a background in emergency services or fire and rescue and stuff like that. A lot of our men and women in our department come to us wanting to serve the community and not having a single background at all. But our training program is probably one of the best in the province that we put our members through. And that's why we're able to provide such an elite service to our community. So we're always looking for people that have that drive, and we'll be able to put the skills in them that they need.
Well, thank you everyone for taking time to be with me this morning. I hope you, the public, find this information useful. And I hope we don't have to have too many more of these meetings around reviewing some emergencies.